Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the February issue of the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter/magazine. Now, this is a very current example of the ongoing mistreatment of God's people. Our story today is called The 101-Year-Old Enemy of the State. We're going to the country of Laos, by the way. Having witnessed the introduction of Christianity under French colonialization and harsh persecution under a communist government, and more recently a greater openness and church growth, a Laotian Christian is growing impatient to be with the Lord. "How old are you, Grandpa?" a frontline worker asked, using a traditional East Asian term of respect for elders. At age 101, Bun Sayan is an elder statesman in the relatively young Laotian body of Christ. And while he can't remember the exact date of his birth, he knows he placed his faith in Christ at age 20. When Bun Sayan came to know Christ, he was working as a witch doctor, a common occupation among animistic tribes in Laos. In cultures centered on ancestor worship, community members turned to witch doctors for medical treatment, financial advice, requests for favorable weather for their crops, help with insomnia, and innumerable other needs. Accidents, illnesses, and any other unwanted occurrences in the village are generally attributed to someone having angered the spirits or neglected to adequately appease them. After memorizing a number of incantations, Bun Sayan was able to earn a good living as a young witch doctor. "I was worshiping spirits," Bun Sayan said. "I was a wicked and clueless person. When people talked about Jesus, I didn't like it." His attitude toward Christianity changed, however, when he fell in love with a Christian. "I saw her. At first glance, I wanted to marry her," Bun Sayan said with a laugh. "And she wanted to marry me, too." His chosen spouse, a young woman named Term, lived in the village of Omjun, where a large number of people had come to faith in Christ during French colonialization. Determined to win Term's heart, Bun Sayan went looking for a Bible. "I was reading the Bible all the time," he recalled, "and it made me know firmly that there is a God and He is real. I saw the truth deep down in my heart. That is why I wanted to passionately believe the Lord in my heart." In retrospect, Bun Sayan sees how God used his attraction to a Christian to, in turn, draw him to himself. Soon after coming to faith in Christ, Bun Sayan led his mother, father, and several others to the Lord. Some of the village people who were worshiping spirits got sick, and the spirits did not cure them, he explained, "so I went to pray for them, and they were healed." This opened many people's eyes. Bun Sayan continued to worship with Christians in Omjun during the country's civil war between communist Pathet Lao insurgents and the Royal Lao Army. As the only Christian village in the province, the Omjun Christians welcomed the encouragement, fellowship, Bibles, and hymnals they received from believers in nearby Thailand. And then came the communists. After the Lao Patriotic Front, the political party of the Pathet Lao came to power in 1975, and they worked to eradicate Christianity from their newly conquered country, and they saved the harshest persecution for those who had been Christians for decades. "Many people renounced their faith during that time," Bun Sayan recalled. A foreshadowing of the communist policies had occurred years earlier, in the 1960s, with the kidnapping and murder of longtime church leader Pastor Laa. The pastor, who lived in a nearby village, traveled to Omjun every Sunday to lead worship. At the urging of local communists, villagers abducted Lao and interrogated him for 3 days before shooting him and leaving his body in the jungle. They killed him like he was nothing, Boon San said. At the time of Lau's murder, Boon San was serving in the army. As one of only a few Christians forced to join, he carried his Bible and hymn book alongside his rifle. When authorities tried to extend his army service, Boon San explained that he had to quit because the Umjun church needed a leader. Boon San volunteered to replace Pastor Lau, as everyone else in the church was too scared to take his place. As the communist power increased throughout the 1970s, so did the pressure they placed on Boon San and other Christians. Many came to persecute me, Boon San said. They were police officers and some soldiers. They came to investigate and interrogate me 3 times. Soon, communist authorities decided to take the Christians' Bibles in hope that the church would fall apart. Soldiers swept into town, gathered all the Bibles, poured gasoline on them, and set them on fire. But the only result was that Christians were more careful to hide their Bibles. We hid the Bibles in the jungle, Boon San said. For my Bible, I wrapped it tightly with cloth and hid it in the trees. When I wanted to read the Bible, I would go to the hiding spot and unwrap it. Those were some tough times. I and the other believers had to have so much patience. As a form of persecution, Boon San was often forced to provide manual labor on building projects, like a school. As he worked, authorities continually pressured him to abandon his faith. Boon San said they hoped to get rid of him so others would also renounce their faith. They did not want others to be like me, he said. Finally, in December 1980, Boon San was arrested and imprisoned for 3 months. He spent his days performing manual labor, using prayer to help him endure the hardships. I asked the Lord for help, he said. Let persecution not be the reason for me to reject the Lord. May the Lord help me to overcome and be victorious over this tough challenge. Prisoners received no blankets or clothes, and even food had to be provided by their families. When Boon San's family came to deliver food, he had them write down his messages to the church. I wanted to write those letters because I was afraid that Christians in the village would no longer have a heart for the Lord and become discouraged and eventually want to stop their faith, he explained. He exhorted his church to keep meeting and to stay strong. He told them he was sure he would be released soon. I was not scared during my time in prison, Boon San said. I was full of joy and happiness to the Lord in front of the police. Excuse me, I knew that the Lord would help me, because in the Bible the Lord said, do not be afraid, as the Holy Spirit will be with you and prepare you for this. I kept thinking like this and stood firm because of the Lord's words. After about 3 months, authorities had had enough. They told Boon San that if he could complete a seminar on communist principles, they would release him. They thought that if they showed him the truth, he would change his mind. After concluding that Boon San had read the training material, the authorities took him before a judge and released him. They thought I understood the seminar, Boon San said with a laugh. Well, they thought that was up to them, but I stood firm in my faith. Boon San was arrested 2 more times during the 1980s for his work as a pastor, spending more time in prison each time. The next decade was a time of hardship for the church in Umjun. But as the communists tried to close the church, Boon San's message remained the same. They can do whatever they want, he told the congregation. If they want to kill or keep us alive, it's up to them. We must be solid in this village. We cannot love our bodies. Our bodies will return to the land. Our spirits will be with the Lord. We have to stay solid in the Lord. As authorities applied more pressure, the church was forced to meet in secret. Each week, church members would leave the village at different times, carrying bags as if they were gathering food, and vary their routes to a pre-designated meeting location. For regular worship, they chose a location that was about a 30-minute walk from the village. But for special celebrations, they traveled farther into the jungle. To communicate, we would not talk much face-to-face, Bunsen said, because everyone knew the days, their role, and where to go for worship. Once we gathered for worship, it was easier to announce where we would worship next time and other events that would happen. For worship, we would gather in a circle, under a tree or anything that gave us shade, he continued. There were a lot of insects that bite, too. We did not have any instruments. Our instruments were just our hands for clapping. We would worship with prayer, songs, and preaching. The services lasted close to 2 hours, with Bunsen preaching to about 15 people most days. At times, however, as many as 50 people met for worship. It was a very tough and testing time, Bunsen said. In late 1983, Bunsen and several other church leaders decided to visit the governor of the province and tell him they wanted to build a church in their new village. They told government officials that they no longer worshipped spirits, that several of them had been Christians for generations, and that they wanted a place to worship. The authorities begrudgingly approved their request. Once we heard that, Bunsen said, we built the church. Despite ongoing pressure from communist authorities, the church kept growing and more people came to know Christ. I recall Jesus' words, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Bunsen said. When I was struggling and facing a tough situation, my heart was with this church and the people. Seeing the church grow was so joyful to me. The Lord has his plans. When authorities saw that they weren't going to be able to stop the Christians, the persecution waned. And with less persecution, the church grew faster. Some officials even seemed to understand that the Christians had a positive influence on society. When we have our Christian celebrations now, Bunsen said, we invite the officials of the Lao Patriotic Front to come join us at the church. Today, the church Bunsen led is almost 100 years old, and with more than 500 members, it is the largest church serving the Khmer ethnic group. Bunsen no longer preaches every week, but he occasionally gives the opening prayer and continues to visit and pray for those who are sick. He requests prayer for his own health, too, as he is no longer able to move around as he once did, and he also expressed concern for his family. Do pray for my family to be solid in the Lord, he said. My son-in-law does not want to go to church. His faith is getting smaller and smaller. May the Holy Spirit light a fire in his heart to come back to seek him. He assured his family that after he passes away, he will be in heaven, and that if they trust and love the Lord, they will join him there. Though his body has grown frail with age, Bunsen's spirit remains strong. He told a frontline worker that he would like to go to Bible school now. My heart has just wanted to serve the Lord since I was 20 years old, he said. Now I am tired physically, but my heart is not tired for the Lord's work. VOM provided hearing aids for Bunsen last year, which helps him listen to Christian radio programs in the Khmer language. And he also listens to sermons on an MP3 player. It encourages me so much, he said. Having lived a long and fruitful life, Bunsen eagerly anticipates something better. I'm really looking forward to the day that I'm going to be with the Lord, he said. All my sufferings in this world will be gone. I'm looking forward to the reward he has for me, too. I wonder what kind of retirement I will get. I'm getting impatient, to be honest. He has prepared a home for me. Bunsen's message for his brothers and sisters in Christ around the world reflects his love for those he has served so faithfully for more than 8 decades. Do not forget the Christians in Laos, he tells us. Amen. If you'd like to follow up on this story and somehow be a blessing to the persecuted yourself, just contact the folks at VOM, the Voice of the Martyrs. That's thevoice@vom.org. Ask them to be put on the mailing list and receive free your own copy of that VOM newsletter magazine. Thank you for listening. Please look around the site. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, Bible studies on a number of subjects, a blog, and a store where you can purchase one of my 60-plus books. If you desire more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel, known as Pastor Lance, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share details about our street ministry, or our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, our new virtual church, and a couple of in-person churches in the Chicago area where we might meet up. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. It's April the 1st, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.